Glory to God. You begin to sing praises to God about who He is, how great He is. You begin to sing the first commandment, basically. You begin to talk about where He brought you from and where He's taken you to and where He has you now. Then everything outside of here seems to go away, doesn't it? Isn't it amazing how you can get in a place to worship and everything outside goes away? Do you think it's a mistake that the God that made us told us that we needed to assemble together and come together and worship? Because He knows we need to make the stuff outside go away sometimes. If you look at the stuff outside, the things that are going on, it only takes just a moment. You might be turning on the TV just to watch the weather. And then you hear something that automatically sort of robs your peace. Something that doesn't sound right or something that sounds hostile. And we've heard a lot of that. Something that sounds troubling. And all of a sudden your peace seems to go away. Can I get a witness? Anybody? What I want to talk about today is the truth of God's Word that tells us that He gives us a peace that we can have no matter how unpeaceful things are around us. It's not my idea. I just want to say what He said. And I want you to see it in God's Word today. Open your Bible. Take your Bible first and stand up. Raise it above your head. Bear witness of God's Word. Amen. Open your Bible to John chapter 20. We'll be in John chapter 20. But we'll also be in John chapter 14 and John 19. So if you stay right there, you'll be in the neighborhood. Your heart should be ripe right now, ready to receive the Word. Jesus spoke something in John chapter 20. When you find your place, say, I have it. That He kept saying and He kept saying. And this phrase was, peace be unto you. Say it with me. Peace be unto you. And some versions you might be reading might say, peace be with you. But we're going to say, peace be unto you. Say it with me again. Now, this is something that He was saying to His disciples. And I want you to understand the scene in which we're peering into. The disciples were gathered in a room with the doors locked in fear of their life. They had just watched their leader, Jesus, be persecuted, mocked, beaten, spit on, brought to trial, falsely accused, and crucified. And they were thinking, we're probably next. Because they were followers of Jesus. And so there was a sense of fear around them because there was hostility outside. Well, you know that peace and hostility don't go together. So Jesus appeared in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Now, before we look at how He said it, why He said it, and let the Bible take us down this journey, I want you to understand something. I've been blessed to walk in a lot of situations with even you that are unpeaceful. As a matter of fact, the time that I get the most calls are with unpeaceful situations. Something's happening that I'm not wanting to happen. I'm in a bad situation. And so you've had that time before where you're just in an unpeaceful situation, haven't you? And even now, I think I've even taken some criticism because even with the things going on around us, I've had people ask me, well, I'm sure you're upset about this. Well, I'll be clear to say, I'm upset about anything that goes against what God said is right. Okay? But in a situation where I look around and see outside that there are hostile things going on, where there are unpeaceful things going on, then I have an answer. I can have peace during that time because I'm saved. And it might seem like just the most remedial answer. Why is this not bothering you? Well, I'm concerned, but I'm saved. Well, let's take it away from just maybe a societal thing. And let's take it to a more personal thing. Your peace leaves you because you hear the doctor give you a diagnosis of something that you don't really want to hear. Or maybe it's something that's been found on a test, and maybe it's something in front of you, and so your peace is gone. Does your peace have to go? No. Why? Because you're saved. Maybe it's a financial situation. How many people have ever been in a financial situation to where you realized your mind was going everywhere and you had no peace? Anybody? But your peace doesn't have to go because you're saved. You say, that's your answer to everything. Well, it's not my answer. I have to say that I took it from this book. And the answer is, to those things, if you're saved, you can have peace no matter what is going on. And it's not just this power of positive thinking that I'm trying to give you today. I'm not trying to be Mr. Johnny Sunshine that walks up here and tells you, hey, let me give you something that's not applicable. Jesus himself came into this room that was really in a fearful state and said, peace be unto you. Let's read it. John 20, verse 19. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, somebody say it with me, peace be unto you. And when he had said, so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even I send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive you the Holy Ghost. There were 10 disciples gathered in that room. Of course, Judas Iscariot wasn't there, and Thomas wasn't there. We find out that Thomas was absent, and when the disciples told him that Jesus had come, he didn't believe. Why? Thomas was just a doubting person that really had no peace. But when he came, Jesus said the same thing. He appeared in the room again and said, peace be unto you. And then he said, Thomas, come here and look. Put your hands into the holes left where the spikes were. Look in my side where the spear was, Thomas. Now, how does all this apply to our peace that we're supposed to have? You see, right now there's a predominant mindset, and I see it even among Christians, that say that, well, yes, we're going to have peace, but I'm waiting for that peace that we have when Jesus returns. I'm waiting for the peace that we have when we get to heaven. The Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, will come back to this earth and he will set up his kingdom and he will reign. And that is when we will have peace. And we all believe that, right? And that's good. You should believe that. But God is trying to tell us here that yes, you will have that peace, but there's a peace you don't have to wait on. You can have peace right now. Say it with me. When can you have it? Jesus said, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. You can have peace right now. Well, how can I have peace when it seems so unpeaceful around me? It's interesting, the word peace. In Hebrew, the word shalom, peace, meaning a sense of harmony, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, welfare, tranquility. This peace that Jesus was speaking about, what's the importance of this peace? How can we have this peace when there's so many things going on around us that seem unpeaceful? Well, here's what I want to tell you today. I don't want you to fall into the category of just saying, one day we're going to have peace. Because what we're doing is we're looking at peace as just being something that we can say that relates to what's happening around us. Peace is not according to what's happening around us. Peace is according to what's happening inside of us. Of course, around the disciples, hey, they just killed our leader, not just killed him with the death of the cross. Unpeaceful situation, to say the least, right? And Jesus stood in their midst and said, peace be unto you, peace be unto you. There's a peace that God wants us to have while we live on this earth. No matter what situation that we're facing, no matter how unpeaceful it feels, God wants us to have peace right now. If you're saved, you can have this peace right now. So I go back to the statement I made. Why is it not bothering you? People get upset that it's not bothering you. Why is it not bothering you? Well, it's this shalom thing. What is it? What, peace? Well, you can't have peace. This is happening. And haven't you seen on the news? And haven't you heard of this group? And look what's happening here. How can I have peace because of this relational problem or this financial problem? Jesus said, my shalom works in the middle of all those things. It is not just a greeting. Some people say it as a greeting. Shalom, Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Response, Aleichem, shalom. It's not just a greeting. As a matter of fact, sometimes the greeting is a greeting that's said by people that are talking about the peace of God, but not even recognizing that that peace has to come through Jesus. And they're not believing that Jesus even came yet. What I want you to see as we go through His Word today, and as Jesus informed His disciples about this peace they could have in an unpeaceful time, is that not only they could have peace right then, but you can have peace right now. Not because I said so, who am I? But because God said so, Jesus affirmed it, and the Bible will show you that you can today. If you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, your peace will just come from however your situation works out at the present time. That's the best I can tell you. But if you've accepted Him and you've come through Jesus Christ to God and accepted His sacrifice for your sin, you can have peace no matter what is going on around you. The peace of Christ is not a normal definition that we have for peace. The normal definition we have for peace is the absence of discord or hostility. We would say, well, it's a peaceful time we're living in because nobody happens to be fighting. Or we're living in a pretty peaceful place in our life because we're getting along good, or the family's getting along, or the finances are good, or there's no health issues, right? So that's the peace we talk about. The way we say we want peace instead of war. The way that we say we want some peace and quiet when we talk about a tranquil time. I remember when I first remembered this word coming into society. Well, you know, I grew up in a time where this meant peace. Some of you did too, right? Peace, man, right? Peace. That peace was talking about this sense of tranquility, no hostility. But in the Scriptures, we see the word peace, Hebrew shalom, used in a different way. The peace that Jesus spoke about, the peace that Jesus said that He could give to us, the shalom of Christ, is not just the absence of hostility and discord. That peace is also the presence of harmony and wholeness. This is what Jesus means when He comes into the midst of those disciples. He didn't do away with the unpeaceful situation outside. He said, I come to change the peaceful situation you can have inside. Jesus was not saying, I'm here to resolve the discord or the hostility. He was saying, I'm here to give you wholeness and harmony in your lives, no matter what's going on around you. And I want you to wrap your mind around this because it's a pretty big deal. We think that peace is external. It depends on what's going on outside of us. We're at peace if we're not at war. But this is not the shalom that he's talking about. We even think there's a time of peace that's going to come, and we look for that. And all of our hope for the future rests in the time. And we're trying to say as Christians, well, one day Jesus is coming back and he's going to set up his kingdom and there will be peace. One day we'll be in heaven and there will be peace. And that is absolutely correct. But Jesus stated right here, my peace I'm bringing to you right now. While you're in this situation. Why would he say that? Because if you are someone that is just hanging on to a peace to come, and that's what you're projecting, then you're going to be walking around in fear, in anxiousness, because of the immediate unpeace or hostility that's around you. You're just trying to explain to somebody that one day we'll have peace. One day we will have peace. That's not the peace he's talking about here. Something interesting. Several chapters before, in John chapter 14, Jesus had spoken of this to the disciples. You see, this wasn't the first time he had said, "Peace be unto you." This wasn't new for them to hear. If you were to read the 14th chapter of John, you would realize that he gathered these guys together. And he was talking about him leaving. Now understand, as long as they were around Jesus, who couldn't have peace? Here's our leader that can speak to a storm and the waves lay down. Here's our leader that can feed 5,000 people no matter what we bring him. Here's our leader that no matter who comes against him, he can walk through a crowd and they can't touch him. Here's our leader that can walk on water. Here's our leader. As long as he's here, we have peace. But Jesus said, and this was before the cross, "Hey, I'm going away. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He told them about where he was going, what he was doing. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's how the chapter started. And as the chapter goes along, he promises them, "Hey, I'm going away, but I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. My presence that will be here even after I leave." And when you get to verse 27, listen to this one verse. What a profound statement. He said this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Isn't that what he said at the beginning? So he was saying here, and I want you to understand the significance. Peace, I leave with you. Well, I'm not the smartest man in the room probably, but if you leave something with somebody, it's not something they have to wait to get. Right? Why do we act like as Christians, we're just a bunch of people waiting on that day? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. That's present tense here. It's not a peace like the world's going to give to you. It's a peace like only I can give to you. It's peace, translated shalom. Perfect unity and wholeness with God. A sense of harmony. Lack of hostility. Tranquility in your heart and mind no matter what the situation around you looks like. Peace I leave with you. Once I return to heaven, this is what you'll have. Has he returned to heaven? Are you his disciple? Then he's left it with you if you're a Christian. If you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you have this peace right now, whether you're using it or not. Interesting in these verses, and I say they're profound verses, Jesus says, "My peace I give to you," meaning that's a possessive pronoun, not to go all Mr. Grammar on you, but whose peace is it? It's Jesus's peace. It's His to give. When you say "my," it's yours to give. "My peace I give unto you." Very important. Why? Because we look for peace from other people and we look for peace from other things. We think there's somebody that's going to come in with just the answer that's going to give peace. And then we're looking at it externally that says, okay, well, this policy won't bring peace. Listen, you're not going to have peace externally until Jesus brings it externally. But you can have it internally right now. There's not going to be a person that's going to come up with something that's going to get everybody to gather together in true peace. There'll be an imposter that does it. And people will flock to him. Why? Because everybody's looking for external peace. They think internal peace is a product of external peace. But what I'm trying to say is we'll never reach that place of peace until internal peace happens. It's His peace to give. You know, we look for peace that comes from financial prosperity, don't we? Anybody in here? Oh, come on. Come on. Be honest. The person beside of you needs you to admit it. You mean you don't feel different on the day you know you're getting paid? Let me get a witness. Used to be, you know, that couple days before, it's like, man, 2 days left. You know? But then once you get that check in your pocket, man, there's a skip in your step. You've got it because you got something, right? What do you have? I got a little bit of peace now that I can put something toward it. Not anymore. Now, let me go online and see if it's hit my account. Well, it isn't there yet. It isn't there yet, right? Oh, I'm in your house. What are you looking for? You're looking for that peace that comes from knowing that it hit, right? But you know what? You'll lose that peace as soon as it distributes to different places and you'll be looking for that peace again. It's not a peace that lasts. You're looking for that peace that comes from that good doctor's report. But you know what? You got another doctor visit in 6 months. Is that peace going to come and go? It's all hinging on what somebody's going to tell us. That's not the peace he's talking about. We look in those places for peace. Some people look to different people for peace. They can do something that's going to bring us into this place. They can bring us into this place we want to live, or this happiness that I have, this picture in my mind. So this person's going to give me peace. It might be relational. If I could just be with this person, if the relationship there, I'll have peace. Yo, you have peace until the next disagreement. But that's not a peace that lasts. We look for peace that comes from going somewhere, getting away somewhere, don't we? Boy, listen, the job's hectic and this is hectic and all this is hectic at home. What are you saying? This is unpeaceful and this is unpeaceful. Let me go somewhere to clear my mind and get that peace. Well, how long does that peace last? It lasts until the day you're packing up to come home, right? And how long does that peace last the week you come back and try to catch up? Right? Some people look for peace in hobbies and pleasures that get their mind off of it, and they can find some temporary peace. And some people, a lot of people, look for peace in some kind of substance, whether it be alcohol or drugs or even a prescription that keeps them where they think they're at peace, that only lasts as long as they have the substance. But Jesus says, "My peace I give to you is distinctly different than any other peace." The peace that only Jesus can give is the unity, the wholeness, the harmony, the completeness, the safety, the security that comes from being connected to God, who is the only one who can give you true peace in all those situations. We're looking for it externally in all these ways. And Jesus is saying, I can connect you to the person that made you, to the person who can actually give you peace, even if these other things are going wrong. The word reconcile. His ability to reconcile. That's what Jesus is talking about. My peace I give unto you. What peace? His ability to reconcile them to God. What does reconcile mean? Reconcile, by definition, is a word that we use to, means to restore harmony. Have you ever reconciled your checking account? You know what that means? You're trying to make the debits and the credits and the checks. And a lot of you might not keep up with when you use your debit card, right? And you're forgetting that you spent that, but the bank says you did. So you're trying to be in harmony with what the bank says when you're looking at that statement. Let this side match up with this side and let it be in harmony. What Jesus is saying, the peace I give to you is that I can bring you into harmony with God, reconcile you with God, bring you back together. What do you mean, back together? Well, we're separated by our sin. Jesus can bring us back together. That's the peace. Salvation. When you heard me say, well, why are you not concerned? Well, I'm saved. Why are you not bothered? I'm saved. What does that have to do with anything? Salvation is the peace of God, the shalom that happens when we're reconciled together with God through Jesus. Paul said, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 19, read it sometimes. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. That's the moment that you're in Christ. That means you accepted that Jesus Christ died for you. You confessed your sins. You said, I want to be put into what you did. I accept your sacrifice. That means you got saved. He goes on to say, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. It's been God's plan all along to bring you back into harmony, to bring you back into peace, to reconcile you, and Jesus is the only one that can do it. Interesting time to bring up here, but very timely. I want you to think back to John 20 when Jesus appeared in the room so that you make no mistake of what he was saying. When Jesus appeared in the room and said, peace be unto you, it wasn't this long speech. It was almost a speech and then an action. What are you talking about? You see, he was telling them, peace be unto you, meaning I've already made the peace. What do you mean? Well, he said, peace be unto you, and then he did this. Picture's worth a thousand words. What do you mean he did this? Look at my hands. You see those scars? That's how I can say, peace be unto you. Look at my side. Yeah, that's how I can say, peace be unto you. It's as simple as that. No, Pastor, it's got to be more complicated. No. Can you have peace right now? Yes. How? If you're saved, you can have it. Do you deserve it? No. Do I deserve it? No. But it's because he reconciled. He did the work to reconcile us. I want you to see how much God loves you. Listen to this verse. Just listen. Listen. Close your eyes and listen. Colossians 1, 19 and 20. For it pleased the Father. Oh, mercy. It pleased God that in Jesus, in him, should all of fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, I say, whether there be things on earth or things in heaven, it pleased God for Jesus Christ by the blood of his cross to bring you to him. All Jesus was saying is, now fellas, while you're sitting here quivering in your seats and these locked in this door where the doors are locked and you're afraid of this external lack of peace that's everywhere, all I'm here to say is, peace be unto you. He already told them in verse 27 of John 14, so let not your heart be afraid. Don't be troubled. Shalom. The picture of shalom is the reconciliation of man to God. Glory to God. And when Jesus said in John 14, 27, not as the world give, I give unto you, he's saying all those places of peace that you've talked about already this morning, I'm giving you a peace that's different than the peace they give you. If you keep looking there for peace, you're never going to find my peace. We'll never be able to experience true shalom unless we accept the salvation of God through Jesus Christ. His peace is a permanent peace. There will be a day when he sets up his kingdom and we will have peace. There will be a time in heaven where we live in perfect peace. And if that's just what you want to look forward to, then you're going to forego the peace, the shalom that he wants to give you right now. Do you realize that Jesus was able to speak to situations all through his ministry? We call them miracles, and bring peace to unpeaceful situations. Just to show us this. Paul said in Philippians 4:7, he said, there's a peace that passeth all understanding. So when I make that statement, or you make that statement that says, I know things look bad politically, I know things look bad governmentally, I know things look bad in our society, I know there's a lot of unrest, there's a lot of hostility, things might look bad internationally, things might look bad financially, things might look bad economically, things might look bad, all these things, and you answer it and says, hey, you've got peace about all those things because you're saved? Yes. Well, explain that to me. Well, it passes understanding, Paul said. I can't explain it to you, but the Holy Spirit can give it to you. And you can think I'm crazy if you want to, but you'll be the one that doesn't have peace, and I'll be the one that does. Not because I don't care. I truly care. I just have peace no matter what's going on around me. How in the world do you think Stephen in Acts was able to stand up and close his eyes and smile when they were stoning him for what he believed? He had a peace that passed understanding. And that's way more severe than the lack of peace we're talking about. And Jesus saw that peace. I'm not preaching that. I wish I was right now, maybe a little bit. But you know, when Jesus saw him stand up, guess what? Or Jesus saw him smile, what did Jesus do? He stood up. Stood up. Why? Because his peace, his shalom, was on display. He left that peace with Stephen when he saved him. I've got some good stuff to show you. In that same Philippians 4, and I know I didn't tell you to go there, but we just happened to go here. He said that same peace will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It will guard your heart and mind. What does your heart and mind want to do? Your heart and mind wants to panic when there's an unpeaceful situation. There's unpeaceful situations that are going to happen. You can't stop them. It's like I explained on the baseball field. It's hard to stop anybody from getting the first base. Peaceful, unpeaceful situations might get to first base, but you have to be able to keep them on first. If they never get to second, then they'll never get to third. If they never get to third, they never score. So what do? Well, Paul also said in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your heart. That means you've got to take a message of truth like this and let it rule over the unpeaceful situation that you have. Why? Because the unpeaceful situation is external. The shalom that Jesus is talking about is internal. He wants to use you as a witness. Jesus' life work was to bring us that shalom. His life work. His life work and his death work. He lived his life 33 years, never sinning, so that he could give us peace. You realize we couldn't be saved through Jesus if he ever sinned. We've sinned. That's what separates us from God. That's what broke the peace between us and God. And Jesus had to be a sacrifice that was sinless. How many people know Jesus paid for our peace with God? He paid with his life and he paid with his death. But I don't want you to take my word for it. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold received from your vain conversation, your life here, by tradition from your fathers. You're not saved with monetary things. You're not redeemed. The price was not paid. You were not bought with those things. He said, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as a lamb without blemish or spot. That's what you were redeemed with. So I want to close by showing you something I think is beautiful. You know, when you get digging around in His Word, God would just reveal some things to you. Listen, He's going to reveal things to you today. Why? You see, you came in here with the intent to praise Him, and maybe you had your mind on some other things, but when you begin to lift your voice up to Him and you sing about the victory that you have in Him, you acknowledge that He sought you and He bought you. You talk about how great He is. Then you sing, I'm sorry, Lord, for the times that I just went through the motions. See, you're confessing, you're being humble to Him. He's going to meet with you. Then you tell Him that you need Him. You tell Him all your hope is in Him. Boy, He's ready to pour it on you. You see, because you've opened your heart and mind to Him. You've made yourself vulnerable and you've admitted. How many people will admit right now, listen, I don't have the peace I need to have in these times that are unpeaceful. Anybody admit that? When you're ready to admit it, God's ready to show you how you can. And I want you to see the beauty of His Word. In order to do this, I want you to turn to John chapter 19. In John chapter 19, it's all going to come together with you. What happened in John 20? You see, John 20, Jesus met back with His disciples and He showed them those hands, right? He said, peace be unto you, and here's why. But I want you to see those last moments on the cross, John recorded. Everything that happened from the sentence in John chapter 19 all the way to the crucifixion. And when you get to verses 28 of John chapter 19, you'll notice this. It says in verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, He said, I thirst. After everything that was done that had to be done, He had lived His life sinless. They had taken Him. They had taken Him to the cross. There was nothing else to be done. Everything was done that needed to be done. Look at verse 30. John gives us this descriptive line. He says this, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He bowed His head and said, it is finished. He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. Now get this, it's beautiful. You see, in English, we read His last words. What's the significance? Well, English is what we read. That's what we would need to read. But understand, it came from the version we read in Greek. In Greek, the word is tetelestai, which means it is finished. But tetelestai, in definition, means the work is completed. Which is the same as saying, basically, it is finished. But something interesting, and I thought this was neat when I was looking at the history of the word. It's amazing that they have found different scrolls or things written on papyrus back from that day to when somebody would finish. I'm talking about completely finished paying their taxes, they would find their tax receipt written with one word on the front which said tetelestai, which meant paid in full. The work is complete. There's no more payment. Everything is done. It is finished. And we've already learned that the price was paid, right? But it gets better. Because I thought, Jesus didn't utter tetelestai. He would have said something in Aramaic. We're reading tetelestai, so knowing that he was probably speaking Hebrew, the phrase, it is finished, glory to God, the phrase, it is finished in English, the phrase tetelestai in Greek would have been spoken in Hebrew and Aramaic. And the word would have been shalem, which is the passive form of the word shalom, which means that when Jesus bowed his head after living a sinless life and dying a sacrificial death, Jesus not only said the price has been paid, he said the peace has been accomplished. Glory to God. The peace has been accomplished. It's finished. Why is this so important for us to look at? The peace has been accomplished. The price is paid. Because we're waiting around like the peace has not even started yet. The peace is finished, guys. The peace has been paid for. The peace is accomplished. You have the peace. Peace be unto you right now. External peace might come later. Internal peace is yours to have right now. No matter what externally is going on, no matter what the financial situation, no matter what the doctor says, no matter what the news says, no matter what society says, no matter what, you have peace right now. If you've come to God through that same cross and you've used those hands, then what happens? No matter what's happening, you're God's. He made the peace between you and God. Romans chapter 5, Paul tells us clearly, not a bad place to go. Read it sometime. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Shalom. Amen. And then he appears. He appears a chapter later and says, Shalom, Aleichem. I've paid for it. The works are finished. It's been accomplished. The price has been paid. I paid for it with my blood. Why are you in here quivering around like a bunch of just scaredy cats? Because of what's happening outside. Why are you doing this? Why are you listening to what people are saying? Why is the least little thing upset you? Why are you getting so frantic? You have the peace. I told you I was leaving it. I told you I was going to give it to you. Right? Neither let your heart be troubled or afraid. Peace I give you is not like this other peace. So now we can see why Jesus kept saying in John 20, peace be unto you, peace be unto you. He was saying, peace be unto you right now. You don't have to wait. You might have to wait for an external peace for all your environment around you to be at peace. But you don't have to wait for internal peace. Look at the champions of God in the Bible. Look at them. What's one thing that they had in common when they faced any kind of adversity? Peace. They had shalom with God. Are you a child of God? Have you come through Jesus Christ? Have you accepted His death, His resurrection? Are you saved? If you are, you have that peace. So, we don't need to be waiting and hoping that certain things happen that will make us feel at peace again, because you're going to keep waiting. You're going to spend your life waiting. Oh, yes, you'll have peace in your eternal life, but you're going to spend this life waiting if you're waiting for it to happen around you. If you've accepted the salvation that God offered through Jesus, you can have peace right now, no matter what the situation is. You say, well, how can I? I know you've told me. Well, you have to let it rule in your heart. Remember Colossians 3:15? It's up to you. You have to be able to battle that unpeaceful thought, that fear, that anxiousness, that worry, that discontent, that irritableness by seeing, hey, this situation isn't right, or it's not going the way I want it to. It's unpeaceful. It's unpeaceful in my mind. You're going to have peace while you're going through it. And it's not a fake peace. As I told you as we began, it's not a peace that I'm just saying you can have. It's a peace that Jesus proclaimed you can have right now. If you've accepted Him as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart. You have access to it right now. You're reconciled to God, and God can give you peace in any situation because God can help you overcome any situation. Words of Jesus in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. What is He saying? You're going to face difficult days, but you can be at peace in difficult days as long as you're with me. If you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, then you're not going to have peace. It's only going to last as long as your situation is favorable to you. Now you answer this. Answer this. How long does your situation usually stay favorable to you? Changes, doesn't it? If that's the peace you want that comes and goes, then you don't need Jesus. But if you want a peace that can last through anything, you do need Him. Why? He made peace for you with God. You can't have Him just by believing that He existed. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have to say, I want to come to God through Jesus. I believe He died for me. I am a sinner. I admit that. And I believe that Jesus' sacrifice can take away my sin. God, I love You. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I want Jesus to be my Savior. When that happens, then you're given the ability to have peace no matter what happens. Jesus said, not me, peace be unto you right now. Christian, that's happened to you. If you know you're saved, that's happened to you. Or are you Stephen? Or are you one of those disciples that's in the room with the doors locked? Maybe looking out the window every now and then just to get a little bit more upset about how unpeaceful things are. Talking to the person beside of you about how unpeaceful they are, and just you spend that time keeping each other just unpeaceful. When Jesus said, I've given you peace, no matter what it looks like outside. By the way, if you read the rest of the story, those disciples were able to leave that room untouchable and change the world. Right? Father God, I love You. Show us ourselves today. Lord, if there's someone that's lost, show them themselves today, Lord, like You did for me. Show me, Lord. Show them, Lord. Let us see ourselves. For someone that's never accepted Jesus as their Savior, they never truly have, or let them see their need to receive what You did for them today. Let them see Your hands and Your feet. Let them see, God, that Jesus made peace for them. I pray, God, for them to accept salvation You offer. Lord, for Christians that have, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord, for just acting sometimes like all that matters is if these external things make me feel at peace. Listen to my prayer and our prayers now, Lord, as we affirm the peace that You gave to us right now. As Your children, Lord, bow before You at this altar today or wherever they're praying, God, restore that peace. Let them, Lord, as they admit to you, they need it. They want it to be stronger. They want it to rule in their heart, Lord. Let it rule in their heart over any sense of unpeace they have. I pray this over them in Jesus' name. Amen.